our cats, Shlita, thanking him for everything in this experience, this opportunity. Thank Yossi also for getting me to come on this trip.
Thank you, Yossi.
There you go.
I spend a lot of my time these days learning Rabbi Nassan. And, you know, you talk about miracles. I don't know exactly how I fell into it. But I have a chavrus and I'm dedicating this year in his honor. His name is Gershon. And we learn together. He understands. I understand a part of it. So I'm not really right to give this year. But just make a few things that I think could uplift us. You know, people accuse me of being a Litvak because I learned by Rav Soloveitchik for many years. But truth is, I find it absolutely fascinating that there's so much overlap between the Torah of Rabbi Soloveitchik and the Torah of Rabbi Nassan. And I think somebody has to write a PhD thesis to compare and contrast the two. It's really exciting.
Rav Soloveitchik never called himself a Litvak. He just called himself a Jew.
But he definitely came from a Litvish background. I want to make two points. Rabbi Nassan, for me personally, opens up what I call Pnimius HaTorah. And in two different ways. First of all, how to read Tanakh. And the stories that the Torah tells us about the Avos and throughout all of Tanakh, these are stories that have to be understood on two levels. One level is Pshuto Shel Mikra, simple understanding, and that's what happened. The Torah is describing a physical event that took place in the material world. And number two, what the Torah is telling us has to be understood as a lesson for all of us throughout Jewish history. And that's a great challenge, to learn the Torah from that perspective and try to see in every single story that the Torah tells us, what is the eternal message for each and every one of us. And Rabbi Nassan goes very far with this idea. He says that not only is the Torah giving us a lesson, but the Torah is teaching us that we are part of that experience. What happened to the Avos, for example, is happening to us. And we are reliving it. It's a very powerful concept. And another dimension that I find in Rabbi Nassan, and again, you can go on and on with many different dimensions, but is the concept of a milchama, the ongoing battle between the Sitra Achra, the Baldavar, you know, he calls it by different names in different places, the forces of evil, of darkness, and the Tzaddikim, and every single Jew. And he gives us insights as to how to face these battles and how to live up to those challenges. So I chose for today a connection here, what I see, and this is my own chiddush here, between Rabbi Nassan in last week's parsha in Toldos and Rabbi Nassan in this week's parsha in Parshas Vayishlach. So I'm going to start backwards. We'll start with Vayishlach. That's this week's parasha. Again, we're on Yom Shlishi. So we're sort of midway between two parashas. I mean, you can still say Avdolah. If you missed Avdolah, Motzi Shabbos. Try to connect these two. The first piece that I want to touch on, again, every line in Rabbi Nassan requires work and tremendous amelus to understand and unfathom his deeper meaning. And of course, you have to be versed in the Zohar and the Arizal. He talks about the milchama between Yaakov and Soro Shel Esav. There's this confrontation. And again, in the Pnimius HaTorah, above and beyond Pshat, what's exactly going on here in this physical battle, on a level of Pnimius HaTorah, and again, it's going to be a symbol, but it's going to be a metaphor for us, is that the goal of the Soro Shel Esav, in this case, is what he calls Harachas HaGolus, to extend the exile. Yaakov Avinu, more than any of the other Avos, represents the idea of going out to exile. And my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to always talk about Christian theology. They believe that you know, we're sent out to exile and the so-called chosen people, we're no longer the chosen people, Chas v'Shalom, and they, you know, God is now taking a turn, and, you know, the Christianity believes that they're now the, you know, all the promises, the divine promises now go to them. And it's amazing that Rabbi Nosson sees in the battle of Sarah Shalesov against Yaakov, this attempt to convince Yaakov and defeat his philosophy that the Jewish people are a unique people, that being a Jew is something different, something special. We represent Esav. And we also have a powerful philosophy of life. And your exile will never, ever terminate. It's going to be continuing ad infinitum. So that Yaakov Avinu knows that the people are going to go into exile, the people of Israel. He knows it already from the Bris Bein Avsarim Tavram Avinu. And now the Milchama is that the sorrow Shal Esav is trying to convince Yaakov that that period of Golus, that experience of exile is going to continue ad infinitum. There's no end in sight and no possibility. What is the methodology of Rabbi Nosson's understanding of sorrow Shal Esav? And how is that methodology relevant to each and every one of us? And what, finally, is Yaakov's response? Golus, and I think this is a deep concept in the philosophy of Rabbi Nachman, is atzvus. Atzvus means, we translate it in psychological terms as depression, chas v'shalom, sadness, but I think it goes into a metaphysical level of what I call yeish, of just simply giving up. I have no faith. And the lack of faith begins in the lack of faith in myself. And over again, Rabbi Nosson emphasizes the concept of atzmi. Who am I in my very essence, in my very etzem? You know, what is a human being? You know, you could have a finger, and chas v'shalom, if your finger is cut off, is amputated, does that mean you no longer exist? Your essence, your identity is much more profound. And Rabbi Nosson elsewhere speaks about the first thought that you go through your mind when you wake up in the morning is the alma di'asi. You know, think about the world of eternity. Understand this is some concept that appears over and over again every other page called the koach hamedameh. You know, all of life is just a mirage. It's just an illusion. This is the physical, material world. We belong to an infinite world. And the powers of the Sitra Achra, the forces of darkness, and the Sarah Shal Esav, they're going to convince you, oh, no. Don't fool yourself. You know, what you see is what you get. And there's nothing beyond this world, Chas v'Shalom. Live in a finite world. And of course, might and political power becomes absolutely paradigm and primary, and therefore, al charba chatichya. That's the philosophy of Esav and later on of Amalek as a descendant. And the Sarah Shal Esav says, you know what? You should be down on yourself. You should be depressed, chas v'shalom. You should be in a state of atzvus, because there's really no hope. You're beyond despair. You know, the chances of God taking you out of Golus are shoif le'efes. You don't have a chance. And I believe that this message to all of us, which manifests itself in so many different pieces of Rabbi Nachman's Torah as projected and interpreted, embellished by Rabbi Nosson, is to believe in yourself. How so? Obviously, the Sarah Shal Esav would like to convince you that, okay, you want to be a religious Jew. I think Rabbi Katz mentioned this the other day. There's a checklist, you know. You know, you daven in the morning, you put on your tefillin. You know, don't go too much beyond that. Don't get too excited. You know, don't start living in a world of dveikus of Hashem. You know, just take it easy. You know, just do it. If the Sarah Shal Esav is not successful, says Rabbi Nosson, he has more arsenal in his back pocket. What he's going to do, if that doesn't work, is he's going to intensify the taivos, your lust, your desire. First and foremost, what he calls and it's all over every other page in Rabbi Nosson, Taivas Niv, in the area of sexuality, and that's where he's going to challenge you. And he's going to try to undermine what we call the Kedushas HaBris. And if that doesn't work, then he gets to the next level. And that's called Taivas Mammon. And this is what the universe is all about today. It's all about Taivas Mammon and Taivas Niyuf also. I don't know which is winning the race today, but Taivas Mammon. I mean, a person who's so involved in his business dealings, in his office work, he is constantly running from his phone to the internet and back and forth and WhatsApp and it's just endless. You know, thank God for Shabbos, but for many Jews it's almost impossible to experience Shabbos because they're so involved in making sure that the bank account, it doesn't have $1 million but it has $2 million or ein l'dover sof. It's very interesting, by the way, this is just on the side, in Hilchus Kiddushin Rabbi Nosson has a discussion in which I never saw this anywhere in Rabbi Nosson, that he thinks is a stira, a contradiction to Rabbi Nachman. He mamash asks it as a kasha. What is the most primary taiva and desire that we suffer the most from? I mean, so I thought he was going to give a psychological explanation, but I don't know. I'm not sure Yossi thinks it's psychological. I think it's metaphysical. He says the following, that in one place Rabbi Nachman says that Taivas Niyuf is the worst of it all. You know, that's the most challenging. It expresses itself in many different ways. In another place, in Sipuri Maisios, there Rabbi Nachman indicates that it's Taivas Mammon that's the most primary. And Rabbi Nosson dedicates two pages here in Hilchus Kedusha to try to reconcile what seems to be an apparent contradiction between these two statements. And he comes to the conclusion, by the way, that Taivas Niyuf is a taiva that we could overcome, we could work on, we have a shot at it. But he says, if you don't succeed in overcoming Taivas Niyuf, boom, you're going to fall into Taivas Mammon. And he says that Taivas Mammon is a bar she'ein lo sof, meaning this, once you're down at the bottom of the bar, you'll never be able to extricate yourself from Taivas Mammon. In any event, very interesting piece. But getting back to the Sorah Shalesa, so what's Yaakov's response to the Sorah Shalesa? And here we get into a concept called Kedushas Yisrael. What is our essence? What is the essence of every Jew? And from Rabbi Nosson's perspective, we are Yaakov Avinu. It's not that Yaakov Avinu is our forefather. That's how I always understood it. But no, every single Jew inheres in Yaakov Avinu. And the story that happens to Yaakov Avinu is happening to each and every one of us. It's not a story about the past. We are experiencing this battle, each and every one of us, as part of Yaakov Avinu. In fact, Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho, according to Rabbi Nosson, what happens is that since we're all included in Yaakov Avinu, then God sees the end of the Doros, and we are called the Raglayim, the lowest of all the generations, again, and that has to be understood, but, and therefore, the Raglayim are going to be the victim, so to speak, of this attack from Soros Shel Esav, which indicates that in the last generation before Mashiach, we're going to reach that bottom of the barrel level. So what's Yaakov's response? How do we get to Simcha? How do we get to joy and dispel Atzvus? How do we convince ourselves that the Sar Shel Esav is incorrect, that the exile will come to an end, that we believe with all our heart and with all our faith that there will be a redemption? And the answer is, look into yourself and discover within yourself the Kedushas Yaakov Avinu, the Kedushas Yisrael, which we all have, which we inherit from Yaakov Avinu. Each and every one of us are manifestations of that Kedusha. That's our essence. This is beyond this world. This is something that belongs to the divine world. Kedoshim Tiyu, the Torah says, Ki Kadosh Ani. God is the manifestation of Kedusha, and we also manifest that Kedusha. And that's the Atzmius. And Rabbi Nosson goes on to say that in these bilbulim and confusions that Yaakov Avinu faces, as expressed metaphorically by the battle with Soros Shel Esav, Yaakov gets to the point where the Soros Shel Esav injures him. But by the way, nobody should worry about Yaakov. Don't lose any sleep. Because Rashi points out that the very next morning, after that battle at night, he woke up and the sun shined And the son was Merape Yaakov Avinu. So don't think, a lot of people walk around thinking, I'm going to use a Yiddish word here, that Yaakov was a hinkadinker. That's a complicated word in Yiddish. It means he was a lame person. Yaakov was not lame. He was lame for a few hours, but that's it. Then miraculously he was saved. But the point is that when Yaakov Avinu, representing all of Klal Yisrael through the history, is battling against these bilbulim and against these kinds of thoughts that confuse us, whether philosophical questions or belief questions, whether they are the involvement in all these different categories of taiva and desire, Yaakov Avinu is going to teach us that we can break out of this and we can destroy it. Again, Stoker plays a major role here, but to destroy these klipos, we have to connect to the world that's infinite, the world of Kedusha, of sanctity, and appreciate what each and every one of us have. And I wanted to connect this, and with this I'll complete, with last week's parasha. How does this connect back to Parashas Toldos? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is a piece here in Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchas Matana, and that's in Nobe Dalid, in which Rabbi Nosson talks about HaKol Kol Yaakov, and he says that the Kol of Yaakov is a Kol that comes from within. It's an existential Kol, and it's spiritual, and it's infinite, and it comes from a different world. But then he talks about Vayetze. Oh, I mentioned Toldos. My mistake. Sorry. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva represents the seven midos. Yaakov Avinu had experienced and perfected these seven midos. But Vayetze, he had to leave Be'er Sheva. Now he's out there. When a person reaches a high level like Yaakov Avinu, and we all, Imritz Hashem, like on this trip, Imritz Hashem, we're reaching that level of his orus of really awakening ourselves spiritually and striving and coming closer to Hashem, to Dveikus and Hashem, then immediately what happens is, because the Sitra Achra can't sit passively, he's got to attack you right there. So what is Yaakov Avinu's message? What does he teach us at the beginning of Parashas Vayetze? Yaakov Avinu teaches us that Vayele Charona, Charona is the Bechin of Charon Af, that's all the attacks that we have from these adversaries, and then Vayifka Bamakom. Bamakom is a reference symbolically to the Makom Shel Olam Takadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Avinu refuses to give up the battle against all these forces of Charona, of Charon. He's going to defeat his enemies with a tremendous amount of effort and faith. And therefore, the same Yaakov Avinu, in the very next paragraph, the Torah describes that he has a dream at night, and he sees, of course, the Sulam, and Malachim are Olim v'yardim bo. The Malachim represent the Tzaddikim, but even the Tzaddikim are Olim, they go up, they ascend, v'yardim, and then they go down. Because as soon as you make that jump and you get onto a higher level, immediately they attack you from all sides. So we have to be warned. You know, we're playing a dangerous game here because we're all becoming tzaddikim on a higher level. And when you reach that Maila Gavoa, you got to watch it out to your left and to your right. Who's going to take you out? And therefore, Yaakov is able to do something that's humanly impossible. The immediate next parasha after Yaakov wakes up from the dream, Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, he's in the Beis HaMikdash in Beis El, and then he sees this message that we'll go down the ladder, but then we go up the ladder. We're always climbing up higher, higher to create new Madrigas and new Milas. At that point, Yaakov has an encounter with an Evan, a stone, al pi ha-be'er, and none of the Roei Tzon, even with a joint effort, are capable of lifting this stone. And Yaakov Avinu is capable of doing so. Superhuman. What do they call it in chemistry? Adrenaline? Is that what they call it? But it's not adrenaline, my friend. Well, it could be adrenaline at a physical level. But Yaakov finds in himself unlimited powers. And why? Because there's another Evan. In fact, Vayikach mi'avnei amokom. It says Evan in the plural. And Rabbi Nosson quoting the Medrash, and Rashi quotes it also, that there were many different stones. Yaakov Avinu had no challenge lifting up those smaller stones. But why is it that when he wakes up, it says, that he made a matzeva from one even. And what happened was that these 12 stones, Chazal say there were 12, each one representing a different shevet, a different member of Klal Yisrael, and every stone had what's called Gvanim Iloim, which is something very metaphysical and belongs to, you know, the world of mysticism. And on the Choshen that the Kohen Gadol wore, there were 12 stones, and each stone had a different hue, a different color, and each color represents that individual, unique contribution of everyone in the Shvatim. And Yaakov wakes up, and there's only one Evan. That all the 12 Shvatim, all the stones united to form one Evan. And if you ask, why is it? How is it that Yaakov is able to propel himself to do superhuman tasks? And again, representing the Ish Yisraeli, every one of us, because we're all Yaakov Avinu. How can he do so? How can he tell Sarah Shal Esav, I'm not interested in your atzvus. I'm not going to be moved by your story of depression that God, Chas V'Shalom, has forsaken us and he picked up a different... No. You know why? Because Yaakov Avinu realizes, Mitas of Shlema, that he is the father of 12 Shvatim. And each one of these Shvatim is unique. And they bound together, they bind together. And they form one. And with that unity, Yaakov Avinu is endowed with new powers, with new energies. And I say that this is all a message for all of us. You know, the connection between the Sarah Shal Esav, who's trying to undermine Yaakov Avinu's simcha and his optimism, his faith, his enthusiasm, and the parsha before, Vayetze Yaakov Miber Sheva, that Yaakov is endowed with tremendous powers. He's teaching us, we got to be forewarned, when we reach higher levels, we're going to be attacked, and they're going to try to bring us down, but it's all part of a divine plan. There's no nefila, Chas V'Shalom. No such thing as nefila. It's all in order to project us to a higher and higher level. And I believe that if we inculcate these messages, it can bring us to a tremendous state of optimism and faith, a positive state. And it's all because, as I said before, the Shvatim are able to connect. We need this so desperately. Halavai, that we could bring about the Geula by uniting together. And we spoke last night about, and we sang last night, I should say, about V'ahavtal Rech Kamocha, but it means... We have here a little microcosm of Bnei Yaakov, of the Kedusha that's inherent in us, of Yaakov Avinu, and here together we are building a single stone of unity. And with that unity, we are endowed with powers that we can't even imagine. And with those powers in Yirtzeh Hashem, and when Klal Yisrael get together, we'll bring about Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Mehreh V'Yameinu.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That doesn't come close. Ashrenu. What a schus we have to learn with. Hopefully we have many more opportunities to learn together, to learn from you. I hope Be'ezrat Hashem, all of us together. I want to sing one nigun with you before we dive in. It's a nigun that we sing every time we come to this spot. And it's based on what happened to Reb Nassim over here. Right behind me, you just look out the window and it's right there. It's unbelievable. Reb Nassim, one of the first Friday nights, he invited by the Reb Nachman Fish, right here. And he heard something that the Rebbe said. He heard a Torah from the Rebbe and he went out to the forest and he started crying bitterly here Friday night. And the words he said was, "When Breslev burns a fire, burn it in my heart. Breslev bo'er esh haver ota b'vidi." He knew it was something. And he asked Hashem right away, whatever it is that I felt right now, it was coming from the outside, it was touching my neshama, I want it to burn from the inside. So those words are very shy after, but even hearing the shir right now, that this deeper even of the Dibur is ma'ayir the lev in such a way. I want this Dibur to be burning from within. And the same person that wrote the nigun that we sang last night of Chayot HaNa'amot, is Yid Yisrael Dagan. He wrote this nigun also, which describes the words we just said by Reb Nassim Sarmi. Statement. One of the greatest Talmidim in Breslau is Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender. We've learned many times, leading figure of the Breslau Hasidim, Yerushalayim, last generation. And he explained Rabbi Nachman's request from Rabbi Nassim to write tefillas out of all the Torahs they learned, based on the pasuk where it says, Tovim Hashnayim Bina Echad. It's better than two are together than one on its own. You refer that to Torah and Tefillah. It's always better when learning is with davening and davening is with learning. When that happens, it's like this key that it could work. There's a place for it. And Breslau burns a fire. It's a fire that only has begun to erupt. And we should be privileged to be amongst those that make tefillahs out of our life experiences and out of everything we're learning. Every daf, every os, every blot. Can't wait for the tefillahs that we're going to be writing from us.